beginning a new series. It's titled Created to Dream. It's a six-week series. It's material by Rick Warren, former pastor of Saddleback Church in California. But it's all about dreaming. And it's all about having a vision for your life. And today the message is going to be what faith can do for you. There's a huge connection between your faith and the dream you have for your life. I want to start with a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. Here's what she said. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. If your dream today that you have in your heart was fulfilled tomorrow, what would it look like? Now, for some, you may be saying, you know, I don't know what that is because I may not have a dream. Others would say, wow, I would hope this would happen. But during the next 6 weeks, I want us to focus on the dream about your future that you have for your life. Now, I have two goals for this series for the church family. They're very simple. Here they are. Letter A. They're in your notes. I'll have Jake put them up also. Two goals. Letter A. If you already have a dream in your life, I hope that it will be nurtured through this series. I hope it'll grow, it'll be expanded, and you'll just become more passionate and excited about believing what God wants for you. That's letter A. Here's the second part. If you don't have a dream, I pray that God would form one in you. Or maybe you're here and you need clarity of it. God, what do you want to do with my life? Where am I headed? What do you want me to do? How do I spend the rest of my days on earth? And so those are the two goals. If you have a dream, I pray it's just fanned in the flame in a greater way. Or secondly, if you don't have one, may God plant one in you. That is the purpose of the next 6 weeks. Now, I hope that you will you'll be here for the next five Sundays. There's a special message for each week. During the week, there are life groups or small groups meeting in people's homes or at the church, maybe 5 to 15 people, in which you'll watch a video, 20, 25 minutes, you'll have a study guide, and you can then talk about and learn together of how to dream. I got to tell you, the first session this week, you know what it's about? The six stages of a dream. Rick talks about how we all go through these different levels or stages and find yourself where you're at in the stage development. Now, I want to define what I mean by a dream. And before Jake puts the next slide up, I want to tell you what I'm not talking about. If you eat too much ice cream at 9 o'clock at night and you go to bed and you dream, and you dream about Aunt Betsy doing cartwheels, that's not the dream I'm talking about, okay? It's not necessarily a dream like that you experience from lack of sleep. Neither is it, you know, when you're a kid, you may have a dream to become maybe a rock star, sing in a group, or it's a real flippant kind of thing. That's not the kind of dream we're talking about. Here's the kind of dream that I want us to define and work on. Here it is. It's a mental portrait of God's preferred future for you. Don't you want to know what you're made for and created for and how you can glorify God and be a blessing to other people? That is the picture or the portrait, the dream that we're going to focus on. It's God's plan for you and your life. You are irreplaceable. You are the one that God has chosen to do special things through, and it's a preferred future just for your life. So that's our bullseye. It's our target. And so over the next 6 weeks, I think it'll be a great time that we'll learn together. So here's what I want to do today. I want to talk about the importance of faith. I'm going to give you five thoughts on it. Then we're going to talk about definitions of what faith is, and there's eight different ideas. They're not long. We'll move this quickly. But so we're going to talk about first the importance of faith. Hopefully you have a sermon listening guide. Let's get started. The importance of faith, number one, it determines what God can do in your life. Did you know that faith is a big deal with God because it impacts what God will do in you and through you? Read with me Matthew 9:29 in your notes. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. In other words, God rewards people who have faith in him, who trust him. Paul said this, faith comes from hearing the word. And the word is the message of Christ. Do you realize when you expose your life to the word of God, you are growing your faith? You came to church this morning. You know what that means? If you hear the word of God, a promise, and somehow it gets planted in your heart, you're growing your faith. Otherwise, you can stay home and sleep in. And basically, you will continue to motor on your own strength. But whenever you expose your heart to the word of God, either in a church service, on the radio, you may be in a small group, maybe you read it, the Bible personally. Faith comes by hearing, and when you hear the word of God and it gets planted in your heart, and your faith will grow. It determines what God can do in your life. Number two, the second thing of why faith is important, it can solve impossible problems. You may be here today and you've got something going in your life. It's that category. It's impossible. I don't know what to do with it. Here's what Jesus said. Read it with me, Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible to you. You see, if you're in an impossible situation, but we connect using our faith with a God who can do the impossible, here's what happens. A little faith in a big God can bring about big results. So God can do the impossible through our faith, but it has to be even the size of a mustard seed. Number three, the third thing about the importance of faith, it's the key to getting answers to prayer. Read with me, Matthew 21:22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Here's what Jesus is saying. You want to get an answered prayer? You've got to believe it and then receive it. It's a key. Number four, it is the secret to achievement. Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. There's a fellow by the name of Wernher von Braun, who is the founder of the space age and especially the rockets. And here's a comment he made. There's never been a single great achievement in history without faith. The men and women that have gone before us are people that have faith in a dream, a vision. And so it always takes faith to accomplish something, any kind of achievement. And finally, number five. The fifth thing of the importance of faith is this. It's a basis for a miracle. It's the basis for miracles. Read with me John 14:12. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, even greater things. This is an amazing statement. For Jesus to say that whoever believes in him can do more than he did. Why would he say that? I think here's the reason. When he was on earth, he was limited to he was in a body, and he could do so much because of his limitations. After the Holy Spirit was given to all mankind, we can pray in Walton, New York, and a miracle could happen in China. I mean, he says you can do greater things through your faith if you trust me with it. So five important things of faith. It determines what God can do. It deals with impossibilities. Keys to getting an answer to prayer. Secret to achievement. It's the basis for a miracle. And let me add this. In the book of Hebrews, the writer says this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We want to please God, do we not? You know what it takes? Faith. He wants his children to have simple faith in the ordinary, everyday experiences of life that pleases him. And so faith is very important in what God can do in us and for us and through us. All right, let's go now to the definitions of faith. There are eight of them. Let's just kind of move through these. Number one, faith is stretching my imagination. Faith is stretching my imagination. Read with me the Ephesians 3:20, backside of your sermon listing guide. God is able to do more than we can think or imagine. I got to tell you, church family, one of the reasons I kind of gravitated toward this study for this fall, this verse was an anchor verse to this study, and it's also the theme verse for the church for the entire year. It's been an amazing 9 months in the life of the church. And it looks like the next quarter is just going to be amazing as well. And so here's the point. God can do more than you can ask or imagine. Here's a question for you. What's your biggest dream? Ask yourself. What is it inside you today is the biggest dream of your life and heart? This promise says God can do exceedingly abundantly above that. That's just who he is. He's an immeasurably more God, and he stretches our imagination. Here's an example. In the book of Genesis, Abraham, about 75 years old, has an experience with God. And God says, Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. And he says, well, there's only one problem. Sarah and I cannot have children. We don't have any kids. He says, no, you're going to be the father of many nations. And so you know what God did? He says to Abraham, I want you to go outside. It's night. I want you to look up to the stars. I want you to gaze at them. Abraham, as many stars as you see, so shall your offspring be. That's great, God, but Sarah and I can't have children. I'm 75. And so time went on, and you know the story, that, he had to wait another 24 years. Sarah becomes pregnant in her elderly years, and she has a child, and through that child, many nations are birthed. The point is this, God will stretch your faith and your imagination. Just let him do that over the next 6 weeks. You may have a dream, but let him just expand it. Open your heart and let him in and let him do something new. That's it. And 6 weeks from now, 7 weeks, I hope that we can have reports of people that have a new dream for their life. Number two, faith is taking the initiative. In other words, there will come a time where you are the answer and engaged party in your dream. This story is about a woman who had an issue of bleeding for 12 years, went to many doctors, and she couldn't find help. Let's read it together. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. 12 years, many doctors, much money spent, and it didn't help. And she got to a place of desperation, and she said, you know what, I've heard about Jesus, and if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just press in and just touch him, I'm going to believe that something can happen. She took the initiative. There are times in our dream journey when we will have to step up and engage to make it happen. That's what this woman did. And she was rewarded by her through her faith, and she found healing through Christ. Number three. The third thing about a third kind of definition of faith is this. It's risking a failure. It's risking a failure. Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Many of you, probably all of us, have seen trapeze artists on TV or maybe in person, where there's two people swinging on bars, individual bars. And at some point, the one person lets go of the bar they are on, hurtles through the air to be caught and to clasp the hands of another person. Now, there's an in-between time where you let go of the security of the first bar before you are either grabbing the second bar or another person. When you and I step out on faith, we feel like we're sometimes in the no man's zone. We're risking failure. What if it doesn't work? When we built the church, when we've done different things, the pavilion, it always goes through your mind, can we really do this? The different ministries, Operation Christmas Child, the women's conference, the different ministries of the church, you know, can we really do this? It's always a risk of failure. But listen, God rewards people who have faith. He's there for them, and he will not let us fall. Number four, here's the fourth thing about faith and definition. It is expecting the best. Faith is expecting the best. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Gregory Dickow, some of you have heard of him, perhaps some have not, said there's two kinds of people in the world. There are problem reporters, and there are problem solvers. Let me tell you about a problem reporter. A problem reporter can see a problem a mile away, and they report it. They're focused on the problems, and they go through life spotting problems rapid fire. They're problem reporters. Then there are people who are problem solvers. They see problems as well. I mean, we all see problems all around us. Could be in the home, could be at the office, could be in the church. But here's what they do. They're problem solvers. They look at life differently. They say, okay, I get it. I don't have to report it. I see it. And they look for the best. They say, how can we solve the problem? And God is always looking for people who are problem solvers. They expect the best. They look for the good. And they focus on that. Faith is expecting the best. Number five. The fifth thing is faith is waiting for an answer. It's waiting for an answer. Read with me Habakkuk 2 in your notes. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Okay, listen closely. You may have a dream in your life, and it hasn't happened yet. And you're in the waiting period. God's developing your character. He's seeing how strong your trust is, developing a perseverance muscle. And so he says there will be times to wait where, why do I have to wait so long? Joseph had a vision at age 17. And he would serve, he would rule over his brothers. And it wasn't until 13 years later, he became the number two person in Egypt. Moses was in the desert for 40 years. He had to wait a long time. What was God doing? He was reworking his heart to prepare him for the next assignment. So waiting is a part of the process. That's one of the six stages Rick talks about in the video. He says, you do this, you do this, you do this, but there will come a time where you want the dream to be fulfilled, but you got to wait. Maybe it's a month. Maybe it's years. Maybe it's a decade. But there's a waiting season, and God just makes that a part of the process. Number six. The sixth one is this. Faith is following the instructions. Read with me Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So God taps Abraham and says, I got a dream for your life. I got a plan for your life. And I'm going to make your name great. I want you to be the father of nations. And Abraham says, where am I going? And God says, I'll tell you later. He says, when should I leave? And he says, right away. So he goes home to his wife Sarah and says, guess what? We're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. And when are we leaving? We're leaving now. There are times where stepping out and following instructions doesn't make total sense. I'll be real honest. You know, do I really need to do that? But it's a step-by-step progression. And when we obey what the next step is, God then opens the door for the next step. And so Abraham is probably one of the greatest examples. We follow the Lord's instructions of what the next step is. All right. Number seven. The seventh thing is faith is being persistent. Being persistent. Read with me Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. We're going to reap the harvest if we don't faint. Remember the story about the widow, Luke chapter 18? And she goes to a judge, and she says, I need somebody to give me justice. There was something going on in her life. And she kept coming back to this judge. He didn't fear God, but this lady was so persistent, he said, you know what? I'm going to do what that lady is asking me to do. You see, persistence is when you stick with it. You go after it. And when you get beat down, you go back and you do it again. Noah was asked to build a boat. You know how long it took him to build it? 120 years. You know what the issue was? It had never rained up to that point. It had never rained. And God says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. He followed instructions. He was persistent. He stuck with it. And you know the rest of the story. What, eight of his family got on the boat. The rest of the world drowned. But the point is, follow God's leading and be persistent. Stick with it. Hang in there. And finally, number eight. The eighth one is this. Faith is rebounding from failure. It's rebounding from failure. Read with me Isaiah 43. And I thought this is pretty cool. These are the verses Jack shared earlier. Let's read them. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Here's the great promise. You gotta let go of the past to lay hold of the future. And we must rebound from any failure in our life. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's a failure from a financial decision. Maybe it's from a divorce. Maybe it's from some embarrassing moment. There's a rebound resiliency that God is speaking into our lives today that we can then move forward with a new dream in our life. We got to rebound from our failures. That's just the way life is. So, eight definitions of faith. It stretches our imagination. We have to take the initiative at times. We have to risk failure, expect the best, wait for the answer, follow instructions, be persistent, and rebound from a failure so that I can lay hold of tomorrow. So, I want to finish up with one quote. Here it is. When you think about being created to dream, We're God made us that way. We're a part of Him. He put His image in us. We're hardwired to dream. What that means is we must allow the Creator, Jesus, God Himself, to live within us in order to create new dreams in us and through us. And so when you think about this series, it's all about starting off on the right foot, in which we allow Christ to live inside us, and we are created to dream when the Creator lives inside us. So I'm going to close in prayer. And you already may already know Christ. That's awesome. Just recommit yourself to Him. If you don't, and it's like a first-time commitment, or you're trying to get on track, you can pray this prayer silently after me. And it's your commitment to allow the Creator to have His way in your life. You surrender to Him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank You this morning that You've wired us to dream big, that You have a plan for each person here, a plan that is better, bigger, stronger, more powerful than anything we can think up on our own. And if there's anyone here that is making a commitment to allow the Creator to come into your life, pray this silently after me. Father in heaven, thank You that You love me. I confess I need You. Forgive me for trying to live life apart from You, for trying to do it my way, for pursuing my plans. I ask Your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again and lives forevermore. And right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart and I ask Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, to live inside me. I ask Him to be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. Or Lord, I recommit myself to You. And I pray that during the next 6 weeks, You will birth new dreams, new preferred futures according to Your will into each of our lives today. Father, we're excited about what You want to do in Walton, New York. Come, we invite You in and pray that the creative power of the Holy Spirit will be our Lord going forward through the person of Christ. And we will make a difference in our community and in the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.